those of you new to the Shia, just a couple of you, what we do every week is a tour of Shas. We pick a different Masechta every single time. We try to do a unit, a sigya, whatever I pick, whatever I think is matim. In this case, we're going to do Rosh Hashanah. We've actually gone through Shas twice already, so that's nice. And we're kind of in the middle of our third round, and we're going a little slower this time, taking our time. What we'll do is we'll do the Gemara inside first, and then I have some Makoro sheet so that we can go over some of the finer points of the sugya. We may end up skipping around a little bit in the Gemara, because there's a section there that's a little bit harder to read and doesn't really add value to the bottom line of the point. I picked Rosh Hashanah because Rosh Hashanah is coming up. The topic of the shiur, I have Makoro sheets, which I'll give out soon. The topic of the shiur is how we get to 100. How do we get to 100 tekios? Based on what the Torah says, and then whatever it is that happened after that, we blow 100 blows each day of Rosh Hashanah. How do we get there? And this is the Gemara that deals with at least part of the way. It gets us part of the way there. It doesn't get us all the way there, but it gets us part of the way there. So if you look on your sheets in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, there's a Mishnah. You notice we got the top of the sheet. That's because I printed it from the shul. Instead of usually the top gets cut off, and you have to take my word for it. What Masechta we're learning? Okay, Masnisen, Seder Tekios Shalosh Shal Shalosh Shalosh Shiur Tekia Kesholosh Shuos Shiur Trua Kesholosh Yivavos. So first it says that the order of Tekios is going to be 3 of 3 3. Now what does that mean? So the Mishnah starts us off the bat, and we end up with 3 sets of 3 of 3. What does that mean? Well, Rashi tells us achat lemalchios, v'achat lezichronos, v'achat lezichofros. Okay? He didn't explain what the set of 3 is yet, but we know that for sure we have malchios, zichronos, and shofros. Now, I say for sure. There's nothing for sure about that. Where does the Torah say you have to have malchios, zichronos, and shofros? It doesn't. It doesn't say it anywhere. Right? We're probably not going to get to that today. But that's totally, I wouldn't say it's rabbinic necessarily, but it's not explicitly in the Torah text. So that's where we start with. Shiur Trua Kesholosh Yivavos. Shiur Tkiya Kesholosh Shuos, Shiur Trua Kesholosh Yivavos. Now the Mishnah wants to get into a technical point. How long does the blow have to be? So the Tkiya itself, it says, has to be as long as 3 Truot. How long is that?
When they say true oath, are they saying the true oath that I'm thinking of?
No. We don't know yet.
Or do they mean what we call Shavarim?
We don't know yet.
After that they say Shutra, Tishosh Shivavot.
It sounds like the Shavarim. The
so
Mishnah sounds like the Shavarim.
Shavarim, you move back.
Right. It sounds like it, although that isn't even necessarily true. It doesn't say you have to blow 3 Yivavot. It just says it has to be the
that's
time.
The
Yivavot is basically...
A dog's bark.
What?
Like a dog's bark.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It's a bark or a moan or shalosh kalot balma kolshu. Meaning the time it takes to go So that's the shear it gives. It's very, very unclear, right? And then where it says takaba rishon, now it gives us another technical point. Takaba rishona umashach b'shnia kishtayim ein biado alachas. We know that we have to have 3 sets, right? So what happens if I try to connect the third blow, whatever it is, with the fourth blow, meaning the third one with the first one of the second set. I just want to do one long blow. So the Mishnah says that's not going to work. You only get one blow from that. That's the Mishnah means when it says you try to do 2 and you only get 1. Mishir birech ve'achar kach nismana lo shofar tokeh maria v'tokeh shalosh pa'amim. Now we get back to the bracha, right? The brachos over here are the machios, zichronos, and shofars that we say in Shmones, right? And the Mishnah is saying that what happens if you made the brachos and you didn't have a shofar? Happens. The Gemara at the end of the Masechta is going to go into what's more important. But let's say you didn't have a shofar, you made the brachos, and then a shofar shows up. So did you lose your chance? You missed your chance? So the Mishnah says, no. You just blow at that point. Rashi says, the Mishnah almost makes it sound like you only do 3 blows. No? When I read it the first time, at least, that's what I thought. Just blow basically 1 set. That's not what it is. Rashi says you blow like you would normally for each principle, for Malchus, Zechonus, and Shofros. It says
she's still doing 3 sets of
exactly. Tokea, Maria, Tokea, Bishul, Malchus, Vachem, Bishul, Zechonus, Vachem, Bishul, Shofros. So you do 3 sets. Obviously not with the brachos because you already made the brachos. You just do them alone.
just a minute. When you say make the brachos, you're not talking about the Shema Kol Shofar. You're talking about the brachos of the Shemoneh Esrei.
Right. Right. Wait, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle. In Chazar Shas, when we say. What?
We say the brachot without the Kiyon Shofar.
True. We do.
When you say one bracha, in Sheva.
No, he means Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. We say Baruch Atah Hashem.
Zocher Abrit.
Yeah, all the brachos that we make during the day, we just don't blow the shofar. Kishem, and then finally, Kishem Shashalech Tzibur Chayev Kolakach Kol Yachid B'Yachid Chayev Rabban Gamliel Omer Shalech Tzibur Motzi Ezarabim Idei Chovasan. Now, this is the Mishnah is making the point about shofar. It's saying that just like obviously the Shalech Tzibur has to blow the shofar, everybody has to blow the shofar, right? This Tana makes it sound like everybody should be blowing their own shofar. So comes along Rabbi Gamliel and he says, no, well, the Shalech Tzibur is motzi everybody else. Everybody hears the Shalech Tzibur blow the shofar, and that's how everybody fulfills the mitzvah of shofar. The end of the Masechta, we're not going to do it. It unpacks that into all of tefillah, which is much more relevant in terms of being motzi other people, brachos and tefillos and things like that. So that's the Mishnah. Okay. We'll go into the Gemara. So the Gemara first quotes a Braisa. How do I know it's a Braisa? Vatanya, how does that mean that it's a braisa? Why? What's the difference? Sometimes I like to do this. What's the difference Vatanya and Tanan? Or Vahatanan? How do you know one is a Mishnah and one is a braisa? Close. When it's a braisa, there's only one nun. When it's a Mishnah, there's two nuns. That's right. Masnisin is two nuns. Tanya is one nun, is a braisa. It's true. Tinyana. Whenever they do Tinyana, which means that we already taught this, it's always from a Mishnah. Anytime you see one nun, I learned this in 7th grade, that's how I know it. Anytime you see one nun, it's always a Braisa. When you see two nunim, it's a Mishnah. You'll be able to find it somewhere in Shas.
I'm impressed that you'll remember something from the 7th grade.
There's not many things. There aren't many things I remember. Vatanya, Shir Tkia Ketrua. Ah, but there's a Braisa that contradicts this and says that the Shir of Atkia is a Trua. How does this contradict? What does this contradict?
Well, it said three truos.
Our Mishnah says that the Shir of Atkiyah is three truos. So this one's easily disposed of. Amar Abaye, Tana didon kachashiv tkiyah dekulu bave, utruo tekulu bave. Tana bera kachashiv chad bava v'tu lo. He says, no, the Tana who's in charge of our Mishnah is talking about the tkiyah, the entire tkiyah, and he's referring to how many truos make up that tkiyah. The Tana Bera, the Tana outside, the one who's talking in the Braisa, is talking about the entirety. In other words, the Shir Tkia is the same as the entire Trua, meaning all of the blowing of the Trua. So when he says Shir Tkia Ketrua, it just means that your Tkia should be as long as the entirety of your Trua. But the Shir of the Tkia itself is three Trua units, kind of, when you break it up into three. So that one's easily disposed of. And then the next thing is Shir Trua Kegimel Yevavos, Vatanya Shir Trua Kishlosha Shvarim. So we say in one place, we say that the Shir Trua is three Yevavos. But then they say, no, it's supposed to be three Shvarim. Now, what's the difference between those?
Maybe a Shvarim is.
So I forgot, actually. If anybody wants, by the way, I don't usually do this, but I thought tonight I would. If anybody wants the English, if anybody wants the English, I have it. If you don't want it, it's fine. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. It's actually, the English is as hard to understand as the Aramaic. It's the Santino translation. So that's what we've got. Rashi explains what the problem is. What does Rashi say in Shvarim? Shvarim are Arukim Yevavos. Yevavos is, Rashi said before. What did he say? How did he define Truos? He said, if you look in the Mishnah, he says Truos is Kol Ba'olma, which means
any sound.
And Yevava is more than that, right? So that's the difference between them. So he says, so what are you going to do? So Amar Abaye, Bahavade Plig. He says, this we can't get out of. There's actually an argument here. Between the Mishnah and the Braisa, there's a difference of opinion. The Chsiv.
Can you review that difference again, please? I'm sorry. What's the difference?
Well, our Mishnah says, our Mishnah says that the Shir of Atkia is Shalosh Truos.
Yes.
Which is, sorry, the Shir of a Trua is Kishalosh Yivavos. That's what I meant to say. Shalosh Yivavos. Right? But the Braisa says it's Shlosha Shvarim. A Yivava is shorter than a Shiva and then a Shvarim. There's no.
How do we know that?
Do we have four different note lengths at the moment? Tkia,
tkiya.
There's a tkiya. We know what a tkiya is. There's the trua according to the Mishnah, which we don't know what it sounds like. We just don't know how, we know how long it's supposed to take.
Okay.
It's supposed to take three
yavavos,
right? Which are short.
The sound emanates from the length.
Well, we don't know. We know how long it's supposed to be. We don't yet know what it sounds like, but we can guess. But shalosh yavavos is short. Blasts.
Is a trua.
Right. And then the Braisa says that no, a trua, the length of a trua, is three shvarim, which is longer, right? So Amar Abaye b'Hava de Pligi, they do argue. D'chsiv yom trua yelachem, u'metargeminan yom yevava yehelachon. One opinion says that when you look at trua, it means yevava, which is the translation of trua according to this opinion. Uksiv b'ime de sisra ba'ad hachalon nishkafa. Vatavev em sisra. So everybody agrees that we learn the tkios, we learn something about the tkios from the mother of Sisra. Who was the mother of Sisra? Well, Sisra was a king who was attacking Bnei Israel. He was killed by Yael, right? She was the one who killed him with a tent pole. And the Navi says that Sisra, he would always go out to war, and then he would come back, and there would be a big parade. And this time he went out, and he didn't come back, and his mother was waiting by the window. And once she started to realize what was going on, she began to cry. And so this is the sound that she made. She made a yavava. That was the cry, and
so
we learned from that.
Whale.
So the question is, it says, Ba'ara chalon ishkafa, vatiyavev em sisra. She was yavav, which is the same translation of trua. So whatever sound she made, that's the sound that we make for the shofar. And so Mar Savar, one opinion says, Genuche ganach, Umar Savar, Yiluye Yalil, which I think is pretty onomatopoeic. Mm-hmm. Right here, Genuche Ganach, you can hear what it sounds like. Genuche Ganach. And Yiluye Yalil is, la 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 la. Right? It's pretty onomatopoeic. They you can tell from the sound. Genuche Ganach is like a moan, it's like a groan. And Yiluye Yalil is a much shorter sound, like the trua that we make, right? It's staccato, da 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 da. And so that's where these two opinions come from. Not really from, they don't really have a scriptural source. They just disagree about what Sisra sounded, M. Sisra sounded like. Now, of course, one question that we would all have if we were to stop here, just, I guess, midrashically would be,
well, I take it from Sisra.
Why in the world would we want to learn from mother of Sisra by the shofar? Can anyone think of another example where we do something similar, by the way, in terms of where we get a source for a halachic concept, let's say? I can think of another one.
Shir Bishal?
Oh, that's a good one.
What do you say?
Nachal ben Drusai. We learned that the shir for Bishal on Shabbos is the time it takes this thief to... how much it has to be cooked for the thief to take it and run with it. There's another one that's actually more biblical. How do we know that a minion is 10 people?
AJ, how long ago?
From the Meraglim. Mm-hmm. Amazing. That's where we get the minion being 10 people, from the Meraglim. It's an amazing thing. So that's for another time, but hopefully we'll actually, if we have time, we'll get back to Em Sisra. But later. Tanu Rabbanan. So we finished that. We finished what that is. Tanu Rabbanan. And this is going to be a? Braisa. It's going to be a Braisa. Tanu Rabbanan. Rabbis teach us. Minayin Shabashofar. How do we know that you're supposed to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? It's a funny question, right? It's a funny question.
No, it's
not sheep. Oh, you want a Gemara? It's an amazing question. What do you mean? How is it that we need to ask this question in a Gemara? How do you know that you blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah?
It's in the Torah.
Does it say that in the Torah? How do you know that a trua is with a shofar? How do you know what it means, even? It's just a sound.
Tiku b'chod shofar?
Three of us.
Tiko b'chol shofar. Where is that? What is that? When is that?
Kessel is Rosh Hashanah.
No.
When the moon is hidden.
But it's not. But that pasuk is not talking about Rosh Hashanah.
And it's not the right day anyway.
What? Wait. Hold on. Tiko b'shofar.
Tiko b'chol shofar. Kessel is Rosh Hashanah. Kessel is Rosh Hashanah.
Right. No. So you're probably.
Well, it could be every Rosh Chodesh.
No, Leom
Chageinu. Rosh Chodesh could also be a chag.
No, it's no. Chag is Sukkot.
So any that's chag of which falls on Rosh Hashanah.
That was in Bar Halacha you read a week
right.
ago.
Right, but that's not in the Torah. That's not in the Torah.
I just want to give you that.
Right, that's in Tehillim. That's why.
I want you to say that I pay attention when you.
But right. But in the Chumash it doesn't show up anywhere that you're supposed to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which is an amazing thing. There's only one occasion upon which we're told. Well, that's not true. There is one holiday that, upon which we're supposed to blow the shofar. Which Yom Kippur?
Yovel.
Only Yovel. Once every 50 years. Tanu b'nei minayin shabbat shofar. Tamalomer b'havarta shofar tshua. What's that pasuk? You guys have the one on the gimel on the side? Do you have the hyperlink or is it kind of cut off? You don't. Do you have it or no? Should be. On the Torah or HaShalem. Yeah. On your left side. You have the gimel? V'havarta shofar tshua b'chodesh hashvi'i. V'asor l'chodesh. That's on Yom Kippur. V'yom Kippurim tavir shofar b'chol ha'ar tzichem. We blow the shofar on Yovel. On the 10th of the month, which is Yom Kippur. That's to free the slaves. Right? So, how is that a proof? So the Gemara continues.
Yeah, have a look at source 1 there, the Torah or HaShalem.
Yeah. How do you know Tshua is Plo Shofar? We have no idea. So, he says, Tamalor, Rabbi, the Shofar Tshua, Ein Le'elah B'Yovel. Rosh Hashanah minayin, so that only teaches about Yovel. How do we know about Rosh Hashanah? Tamal Omer bechodesh hashvi'i. Shein Tamal Omer bechodesh hashvi'i. It doesn't have to say that. Umat Tamal Omer bechodesh hashvi'i. Shiyu kol tshua shel chodesh hashvi'i ze kazeh. The word v'havarta shofar tshua, right, is indicative that tshua is always with the shofar, specifically in the month of Tishrei in chodesh hashvi'i. So every tshua is always going to be with the shofar. So just like we blow a shofar in Yovel, we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's it. That's as far as you go. That's how we get shofar. Amazing. That's how we get the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah that we all associate it with. That's where it comes from. Uminayin shepshuta lefaneh. Okay, now we're going to get down to brass tacks, how it all works. How do we know that you blow a simple blow, right? What we call a tkia, before? Tamalomber v'havarta shofar tshua. Uminayin shepshuta. So that's how we get the tkia beforehand. How does that teach us the tkia beforehand? V'ha'avarta is a smooth thing. V'ha'avarta, it comes from the word v'ha'avarta, shofar tshua. It's an extra word, and so that's what it teaches you. Ma'in shepshuta l'acharya, tomalomar, ta'aviru shofar. So each ha'avir is to teach you to blow a tekiah.
Is a smooth blow.
Right.
But does that mean the ikar is the trua, but the v'ha'avarta, the tekiah before, is like sort of in preparation for the...
It's a great question. Why do we have... Tkia, Tshua, Tkia, what's it supposed to teach us? Right? I'll tell you off the bat, just one thing that I heard recently was that it's supposed to represent Jewish history. That there was this simple point at the beginning, of the entire Chumash, and then things got complicated. And then we hope there's going to be a simple thing at the end. So it's supposed to indicate that. It's a nice idea to think about. But there's definitely much more. I mean, Alpi Kabbalah, but pretty common Kabbalah. The Tkia and the Trua represent two different things. Tkia is going to be Midat HaRachamim, Midat HaDin, and, no, I messed it up. Midat HaRachamim. Midat HaRachamim is Tkia, and Midat and Trua is Midat HaDin. So we want to sandwich it, right, to protect ourselves. So that's how, now we got three blows. That's it. Three blows for Rosh Hashanah. We know we need a trua, obviously, and we know that it's a shofar. And then we know that we need one blow before and one blow after. Mm-hmm. That's all we've got. This is all talking about needing a tekiya before a trua and after a trua only on Yovel. Because those psukim are by Yovel, they're not by Rosh Hashanah. So how do we know that we need our Rosh Hashanah as well? Tamalomar. Again, b'chodesh hashvi'i, shein tamalomar b'chodesh hashvi'i, ma tamalomar b'chodesh hashvi'i, shiu kol shuas ha'chodesh hashvi'i zeh kazeh. Same thing we said before. It's just saying that everything that has to do with blowing a shofar in Tishrei, it's always the same. It always has to be tkiah trua tkiah, and it's always with a shofar. So we're still stuck at three of them. U'minayin l'shalosh l'shalosh l'shalosh. There we go. How do we know that you need at least nine? At least nine. Tamalomar. V'avarta shofar tshua, Shabbaton zichron tshua, Yom tshua yelachem. Three truas with regards to Rosh Hashanah. Three times does it say the word tshua with regards to Rosh Hashanah. That's how we know we need three sets. Because we need three truas. And if we need three truas, then we need at least six tkios, right? To sandwich each one. Tamlover, sorry. Minayin litena ta'amur shel zeh bazeh v'shel zeh bazeh. How do we know that... They're not all by Rosh Hashanah. Rashi says Lefisha Shalosh Truot Halalu Lo Nemru B'Makom Echad Shashtaim Nemru B'Rosh Hashanah B'Ha'achas B'Yovel. Right, one of those, the first one, V'Havarta Shofar Truah, is the same pasuk we said before. That was by Yovel. So we only really have a source to blow twice on Rosh Hashanah, because one of them is not even talking about Rosh Hashanah. Tamlomer Shvi'i Shvi'i L'Gzer Shava.
You're saying the three sources. One applies to Yovel.
The first one applies to Yovel.
And the other two apply for Rosh Hashanah. Is that what we just said?
In the Yovel.
Well, in terms of what, the, in context, what's going on, yes.
Rosh Hashanah during the Yovel year.
No. The Havarta Shofar Trua, which is really the source for blowing a shofar in general. Yeah, he's talking about Yovel of Yom Kippur.
Yes.
We learned from that, because it has this Chodesh HaShvi'i, that when it says Tru'ah b'Rosh Hashanah, that's talking about blowing a shofar. And then we learn all the dinim of blowing a shofar from there. And now finally we're learning the last thing, which is that you have to blow a Tru'ah three times on Rosh Hashanah. The problem with that is that they try to learn it from the fact that it says Tru'ah three times in the Torah. But one of those is talking about Yovel. Uh-huh. So how can you learn three times Tru'ah on Rosh Hashanah if one of them is talking about Yovel? And then basically the answer is similar but not the same as what we said before about Chodesh HaShvi'i. They learn a Gzera Shava, which is a different tool that Chazal is using, that it says Shvi'i. So they say Shvi'i, you know, kind of gets transported over there as well. Rashi says, Talmud Lomer, Tru'ah Tlata Zimni L'chol Achad Pshuta L'fanev Pshuta L'achareh. Oh no, I'm reading the wrong one. Shvi'i Shvi'i L'gzera Shava Nemer B'Rosh Hashanah B'Chodesh HaShvi'i Nemer B'Yovel Havar T'Shofar Tru'ah B'Chodesh HaShvi'i. Before, when we said we were learning from Chodesh HaShvi'i, we were just saying, okay, there's this extra Chodesh HaShvi'i there. So it's coming to tell you that all aspects of Shofar and Chodesh HaShvi'i are the same. Now, we're saying another level, which is that, well, it says Chodesh HaShvi'i by Yovel, and it uses the same word for Rosh Hashanah, that's Gzera Shava. So that when the Torah uses the same word for two different topics, we can make a connection. And so we say we can transplant it. The Rishonim discuss whether we can now abandon the whole Chodesh HaShvi'i limud and just take the Gzera Shava, because it's good enough, it'll teach us everything we need to know. The Rishonim discuss. It doesn't really have any halachic ramifications, so I don't want to go into it now. I think we're going to skip this section for a minute. And we're going to go down to what time is it?
It's 9.
Okay, so you know what? Let's go all the way down to go all the way down. There's a little Rambam bet all the way at the bottom of the page. Not all the way, like 10 lines up. You see the Tosas on the left side, Navre? Mm-hmm. So right to the right of that, there's a little Rambam bet, and it says, Atkin Rabbi Abahu. Okay? This is the big Gemara over here. Yeah. Atkin Rabbi Abahu, there's a little Rambam bet on right on top of it.
A little bet. Yeah.
See it? Everybody see it? Okay, so this is what everybody talks about in this Gemara. Atkin Rabbi Abahu Bekesari. Tkia Shlosha Shvarim Tura Tkia Manishach. So Rabbi Abahu made a Tekana in his community. He said, we're going to do Tkia Shlosha Shvarim Trua Tkia. What do we call that? Well, no, it's partly what we do. That's called the Tashrat. Tkia. He's saying this is how he would blow. This is how he would blow in his community. Because they weren't sure, well, let me comment. L'chora, what's going on is that they weren't sure, should we do a Shvarim or should we do a Trua? Should we do Genuchei Ganach or Yului Yalil? Should we do the or the la 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 la? Which one should we do? So he said, you know what?
Let's do them both.
We're Ashkenazi, let's do them both. Right? So that's what we do.
In order to ensure they're doing a proper trua.
They said, let's chop it somehow.
We're not sure what a proper trua is. Because it's tekiah, trua, tekiah. We're not sure what trua is.
Exactly.
Because either those sounds, we'll call one of them a shvarim, or we do shvarim trua.
Perfect.
One of them will be a trua.
Perfect. So atkin Rabbi Abba b'kesari tekiah shlosh shvarim trua tekiah. Manim shach ilu yalil la'avid tekiah trua tekiah. Vigunuchi ganach la'avid tekiah shlosh shvarim utekiah. Why did he do that? If it's Yulul Yalil, if it's what we call a Trua, then let him do that. If it's a Shvarim, let him do that. The answer is, Misapkale Yigenuchi Ganeche Yulul Yalil. He wasn't sure. So therefore, he did both.
But they're not worried at all about. From you're not really supposed to blow musical instruments on Chag, right? So you can blow a shofar, but I'm not worried that if they blow the wrong thing, then they are going to be.
If you're doing one of them, has to be wrong.
Be mechalel chag. There's no issur of blowing a shofar on chag. The Gemara talks about whether or not it's a musical instrument, whether it's malacha. It's not malacha. We know that it's not malacha. And anyways, it's a mitzvah. Hey, you want to do a mitzvah?
What about blowing a shofar?
Well, that's a separate problem of gzera derabba, that you're not supposed to be blowing shofars and then they become muktzah, and that's why. But it's not a daraisa problem, almost for sure.
It's stronger. What about Shabbat?
What? On Shabbat, we don't blow.
They used to blow on Shabbat. At what stage they stopped blowing on Shabbat? Surely
Rabba.
Surely that was after.
And I don't know when, but
maybe it was after this.
After I don't know exactly when. We know that it was a rabbinic enactment. It seems that it was a rabbinic enactment to not blow the shofar on Shabbos, right? I keep qualifying myself because Rashi and Chumash doesn't seem to think that, but I don't think we're gonna have time to talk about that. But let's say mainstream. Almost everybody agrees that that's only the Rabbanon that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. We're supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. That's Shabbat.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no reason not to.
But why then also is the concern not you shouldn't blow shofar on Shabbat in case we're blowing it wrong?
No, we shouldn't blow shofar on Shabbat now because we don't want to carry it outside.
Yeah, why don't they say that? Why that seemed to be very...
That wasn't a concern.
Why they're not concerned? That's what I'm asking.
What's the concern? It's not a... Generally speaking, first of all, the idea that I'm supposed to play musical instruments is also only the Rabbanon. It's a takana that you might break
you might
it and fix it.
Correct it and fix it, yeah.
But the question I'm asking is they're being very quick here to say, well, we don't know if it's like this or it's like this, let's do both.
Yeah.
There's no concern here that that could be a problem.
Okay. I'm waiting for you to... Baal Tosif, we blow 100 times anyway, so we're clearly not worried about Baal Tosif.
But why not?
You need three.
Okay, Baal Tosif is a different question. It's a good question. I think Tosif would deal with it on the next page, which we're not going to do. No, not here, but Tosus deals with that kind of question elsewhere. I don't want to deal with that. There is a problem here, and Robbie's very, very close to it.
There's a hashtag.
Yeah, which is, you know, I remember when I used to learn with Chavrusas, which I don't get to do so much anymore, but when I used to, so sometimes you'd stuck in a Gemara, and there's such an obvious question in the Gemara, and you're like sitting there arguing it out, like, what's going on here?
It's the next line.
It's the next line. Mesabgale Dilma Gunuchigala where did I go? Matkifla Ravina. Okay, so here's another one. What's Matkifla?
Good question.
Good, it's an attacking question, but what does that mean it's an attacking question?
Higher source.
No.
Same source.
No. From the same source.
Logic.
That would be it. There are generally in Gemara, Mayer's right. There are four different major types of questions. There's Mesive, Uriminu, Matkif, and Ibailu. Meisive is the hardest question. It's a question from a higher source. It's a question on a Mishnah from a Pasuk, or a question on a Gemara, on a Mora from a Mishnah. If you don't answer that question, you lose. That's the stakes. Yeah. Uriminu is a contradiction, but on the same level. Braisa to a Braisa, maybe a Mishnah to a Braisa, a Mishnah to a Mishnah, a Pasuk to a Pasuk. If you don't answer that, so then you end up with Kasha at the worst, because nobody loses. Then you have Matkif. Matkif is not a question from a source. It's a question from logic. It says, what you said doesn't make sense. I don't have a source for why it doesn't make sense, but I can tell you it doesn't make any sense. And then Ibayelahu is just an information-getting question. It's just saying, what do you think about this? Or what if this? What if that? So here we have a Matkifle. Matkifle Ravina. Ravina is not going to bring a source. He's just going to say, this doesn't make any sense. V'dilma genuchi hava kamasafka trua ben shvarim letkia dohadar avid tashat. But then you have a hefsek. Because if it's genuchi ganach, maybe... It's a shvarim, and then mefaska trua. You're dividing between the tkiya shvarim. It's supposed to be a tkiya now, and
supposed
you stick in
a
trua.
Connection between the two of them.
Supposed to have before a tkiya and after a tkiya. But you don't, because now you have a trua, so you created a problem. And in this case, by the way, it's definitely wrong what you're doing, Rabbi Abahu. It's for sure wrong, because nobody thinks that what you're doing is right. Nobody thinks it's tkiya shvarim trua tkiya. It's either tkiya shvarim tkiya, or it's tkiya trua tkiya. It's not tkiya shvarim tkiya.
Why
don't
you have a suffix? Why don't you just go to
Yavne? Good. So that's when we hit the sources, we're going to talk about that. So Ela Rabbi Abahu, my Atkin, Igenu Chiganach Avde Iluli Alil Haavde Mesapkele Dil Maganach V'Yalil Ihachi LiAvid Nami Ipcha Tkiya Trua. Sorry. He said, what was the takana? We misunderstood what the takana was. The takana was Igenu Chiganach Haavde Iluli Alil. He did both. But then he thought maybe it's... Sorry, he did each one, and then he thought maybe it's both. So he added on that they do both.
Why
so,
would he think that it's both?
So he thought that maybe that's how Sisera's mother sounded.
Oh.
That's what she sounded like. She did... and then she did staccato.
But it doesn't say that.
The Amoraim didn't say that, but he suggested that maybe he thought that maybe that's what it sounded like.
But it doesn't use the lashon of ganach at all. But this is not. Just uses the,
it's yavah, right? So, but we don't know what it sounded like. That's the problem. There's already a machlokes what it sounded like. So he threw in a third one. So then the Gemara says, "Ihachi." If that's the case, well, so what's the question now? What's going to be the Gemara's next question? So we covered ourselves. We've got tkiyah shvarim tkiyah. We've got tkiyah chua tkiyah. And we've got tkiya shvarim trua tkiya. What's the question the Gemara is going to ask? Say again?
How many times of each?
Okay, well, we don't know anything about times yet, but what else could you ask?
Do we really need the double one and the two single ones? Well, that's because he's added it.
He's worried that it was a shvarim tkiya. That's what she said. That's what she, yeah.
So what order?
What do you mean?
So what order are you going to do the tkiya shvarim trua? Yeah,
well, the Gemara said tkiya shvarim tkiya.
Yeah,
Shia Shvarim Trua
Tkiya. Which one goes first?
Well, we know which one came first. The question is, why doesn't he also do the other way? Why not do Tkiya Trua Shvarim Tkiya? So the Gemara says, why not? Yachi li avinami ipcha. Turn it around. Tkiya Trua Shlosha Shvarim Tkiya. Why not do that? Dilma Yalil Vaganach. Maybe it was staccato, and then it was the groaning. Because that's how people cry. They let out big ones and then they kind of stutter.
You know, if he had said do it the other way, they would have asked a question, why don't you do it this way?
Yeah, they would have.
No, you're kidding.
They would have, for sure. So here they're saying that this is the way people cry. They let out these long ones and then they let out the short ones.
That's a statement which doesn't have any support anywhere. That's just his... A subjective statement.
This is how I think people cry.
Well, they're trying to figure out. The whole thing is trying to figure out how people cry, or how Sisera's mother cried, at least.
Okay, well, I don't get that jump, though. Why? Using the text of Sisera's mother to understand what the meaning of the word is, which means to cry, why do they make the jump that you all make the shofar sound exactly like she cried, and then be concerned about how she cried?
That was the original thing, over here.
Why?
Well, because we know... based on the Targum, that the Targum of Trua is Yavav.
Right.
And the Navi uses the word Yavav for what Sisera's mother did. So that's the only evidence we have for what the shofar is supposed to sound like.
But why are we going the other way? We're saying we're trying to understand what the word Trua means, right?
Or what it sounds like,
connected to Yavav. Now, how do we know what Yavav means? We've got no idea. We look in the Tanakh. We see that Yavav is what Sisera's mother did.
We know it's a crying sound.
We know it's a crying sound.
Yeah, that's
okay,
it.
Okay, good. We know that's it's a crying sound. Why now do we want to make a shofar sound like exactly like she sounded?
Because that's the only thing that we know. We know that it's a trua. It's supposed to sound like what she did.
But he's saying it's good enough now.
But
it's a cry.
Person crying.
Who cares if it's Sisera's mother or anyone else?
Well, at this point, we don't care if it's Sisera's mother. We just want to know what crying, what a person crying sounds like.
No, we do care.
With the shofar.
We've spent a lot
over
of
here
time.
We did.
Yeah.
Over here, no, we don't care about Sisera's mother, so to speak, as a person.
Yeah.
We care about what crying sounds like when you transport it to a shofar.
And we're using her as a paradigm of what crying sounds like.
Yeah.
Are we using her as a paradigm of what crying sounds like? We're just using her to understand what the word means.
What the word means.
What the word means. Okay.
What the word means.
Okay.
The rest is all interpretation of what crying sounds like. Although Meir's point is very salient, and that's what I want to get to right now, which is, why is there even a question about this? How could there be a question about this?
Well,
about.
Give out the sources.
And what did they do before Sisera's mother was killed?
That's also a good question. But that's
the same question.
It's the same question.
I think Sisera's mother's a bit of a red herring.
She's only valuable because the word is used in the context of her.
She's valid in terms of understanding the translation of the word, but not.
One more, please.
Yeah. Is that the only place in Tanakh where the word Yavav appears?
I can't say for sure myself.
Is it a hapax legomena?
I don't know.
You can check it in Google.
Okay. So if you take a look at the Rambam asks a very, very important question. So he's giving us the halachos. Kama tkios chayav adam lishma b'yom tov shosh Hashana? Teisha tkios. I should have made this clear before. When you get to the end of the Gemara, how many tkiyos do you have to hear? Let's recap.
Three times.
How many do we know we for sure have to hear? Well, we could have said three, that the Torah says you have to hear three. Well, actually, we should have said the shofar, the Torah says none. Then finally, we said, no, trua is from the shofar, so we got one. Then we said, okay, it says v'havarta before, and tavir afterwards, three. Then we said, it mentions trua three times, twice in connection with Rosh Hashanah, once in connection with Yovel, we combine them all.
Nine.
We get to nine. Right? We get to nine. Nine. Let's go home. No? Okay, well, we got to Rabbi Abba at the end of the Gemara, right? What did Rabbi Abba teach us? He said, well, we for sure have to catch Shvarim, and we have to catch Trua. And then he says, we also have to catch Shvarim Trua. So nine became 27, right? Or 30.
Does Shvarim Trua count as one?
Right, 30, depending on how you count Shvarim Trua. Right, so that gets us to 30, 27 or 30. That's it. From the Gemara, that's all you have. 30. So,
can we start with Malchus, Zichor, and Shofar?
Well, the Gemara didn't say anything about that. Although that will get you anything because... Oh, actually, that's not true. That will get you somewhere.
When they blow the Shofar half an hour before Mincha, say on the first day and second day, they blow 30.
So. I think they blow more than 30. I don't remember.
I think they blow 40.
I think it's 30,
40. 40?
It's
40.
Certainly not
100.
No,
it's
30
not 30
and 40.
For women, when they
blow
the shofar for
women. To make sure people didn't hear in the morning.
Yeah. So, how many do you have to hear? Teisha tkios. Vishnemar chua b'yovo b'rashashana shlosh b'an v'chot shua b'shuta l'fanea u'b'shuta l'achareha. Midaraisi, you only have to hear nine tkios. Umpia shmua. What does he mean by umpia shmua? Most likely Torah Shabbal Peh. Daraisa. Lamdu shakol trua shachodesh vi echad hen ben Rosh Hashanah ben Yom Kippurim shal Yovel. That's where you learn it from. Teisha tkiya is token b'kol echad mishnayan tkiya trua tkiya tkiya trua tkiya tkiya trua tkiya. Nine. That's it. Torah obligation is nine. Halacha beis trua zuha mura b'torah nistapik lanu ba safik l'fi orach hashanim v'rov hagaliyos v'inanu yodin heyachi. Mayor, there's your answer. For the Rambam, his question, the implicit question here, is a question of Haigon, which we'll see he asks in the next source. How could we have this question? How did they blow the shofar the first year in the Midbar? And then the next year? And then the next year? And then the next year? And then the next year?
Until Sisera's mother came along.
And then after that, even. How could we not know? How could we not know what the shofar sounds like? They did it every year. So the Rambam says, you're right. At some point, they did know exactly what it was, and that went on for a long time. But, l'fi orach hashanim, berov hagalios, in ani yodin
heachi. Was there a mitzvah in the Midbar to blow the shofar? Because if you learn it from Yovel, and Yovel only started when they came into Eretz Israel, from the blowing of Yom Kippur of Yovel, and that only started when they came into Eretz Israel. So what happened in the Midbar?
I don't see why they wouldn't, but I can't say for sure.
But they had the Torah, even if they didn't have Yovel yet, they did have the Torah.
Yeah, but for instance, they didn't do Pesach.
You don't learn it from Yovel.
Yovel
is the only one that's mafresh in the text, in the Tanakh. You presumably, yeah. the tradition was doing Shofar and Rosh Hashanah anyway. It's just not written, only Yovel.
Correct.
But that's what I think. It says, Rabbi Abba Hupa Kesari. It's not even in Galut.
By that time, it had already been lost.
No, he was based in Caesarea then, so he was in the land still.
But it was after.
Yeah, but his Rabbi Abba is an Amora, so it's after the first Korban. So.
True, but
they'd already been in Babel and come back.
We're saying this is a Sofek.
Saying over time. Imi ha'yalala shemiyalalin ha'nashim b'hanayatan beit shemiyavvin. Right, that's the yalale. That's the sound they make. Oha anacha k'der she'anacha adam pam achar pam k'sheyidag libo midavar gadol. Right, that's sighing. It's the moaning. O shneim k'yachad ha'anacha v'yalala shedar galavu acharei hein ani k'rein shua shekach derech adoeg mitanech tchila v'achar kach miyalal. He says that's what you do when you're worried. You moan first and then you cry like that. The fichach anu osinakol. That's Rabbi Abbahu. So he explains Rabbi Abbahu and the confusion about what it's supposed to sound like. He says simply, yeah, we forgot. There's another opinion. Yeah.
Why don't we go to the most basic description of what a shofar sounds like straight from the Tanakh, which is the shofar at the Matan Torah.
What did that sound like?
Called shofar alech v'chazek.
Okay. But that's not even called the Shua, though.
But it's not any of this.
It's not a Shua.
But
we don't even know it's a shofar until we learned it from the Yovel. All we know is it's supposed to sound like a
shofar. It's supposed to be here. But once we know it's a shofar, why don't we go to that description to figure out what a shofar should sound like?
Because the Torah doesn't say blow a shofar. It says.
But
it's almost certainly not a shofar. It's very much.
Are you saying that if you hear a trua from an instrument which is not a shofar, you would say?
No, of course not. I'm saying until we learn it from Yovel, we don't know that we need a shofar. But now that we learn it from Yovel, of course we know that we need a shofar. We learn it from Yovel Midaraisa, but the Torah doesn't say that you need a shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say it anywhere. If you take a look at the Ritva, the next source, so he says Nish'al Rabbeinu Hai. That's Rabbeinu Hai Gaon, one of the Gaonim from the 10th, 9th, 8th century. I'm not sure. What? we weren't Yotzei Tkiya Shofar before Rabbi Abbahu came along? Sounds like they weren't sure what it was. The Gemara says that, you know, they're arguing, the one who says Yuvava and Yelule. Right? Ganach and Yelule. Vein Safik Shachra Aita Lehem B'davar Ki Eich Efsha Shemitz O Kazu Shaita B'Kol Shana Lo Yadu Amitata. He says, for sure they knew what it was. V'lo Ela La'elu Ish Mipi Ish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom Eich Haya Noheg. Everybody, you knew from what Moshe Rabbeinu had done until now. V'eishu V'zal Ki B'vadei Churas Torah B'Kol Echad Me'elu Bein B'Genuchay Bein B'Yilulei Shekavanas HaTorah B'Churah La'asota Mikolot U'Shvarim. A version of Rabbi's answer. You know what? It doesn't really matter. It just has to sound like crying. The Torah says, you blow the shofar, trua. It's not a tkia, it's some kind of a different kind of blowing. But it could be anything. It could be yavava. Sorry, it could be genuchei ganach. It could be yulul yalil. And whoever, people would do it, however they thought that it sounded nice.
Ashkenazi's father.
Yeah. And however you did it, you were Yotze. It was fine either way. So your community developed a certain way of doing it, and that's what they did. And the Chachamim knew this. The Chachamim knew that it was okay. But the problem is that the people who didn't know better, so they were all, you know, the people in Ranana say, you know, we're doing it right, and the people in Beit Shemesh are doing it wrong. And the people in Beit Shemesh said, we're doing it right, and the people in Ranana said, we're doing it
wrong.
Exactly,
like
exactly. And the Chachamim are thinking to themselves, well, you're both right. But the people don't. So what did the Chachamim do?
Are you saying the Chachamim would have had an addition from their Rebbeim going back to Moshe?
Their tradition was that it's all good.
That it didn't matter.
It's all good. The tradition was that almost any way that you blow the shofar, as long as, I don't know what the parameters are, but it's almost all good. And so then the question becomes, so then why this effort to be Yotzei Kol HaDeos? So he says, because people thought that either this is right or that's right, but they can't both be right. So Gam hosif trua achad mishalo ki natan data l'takan a trua b'kol b'nei kol nishbar shafshar nogin. Rabbi Abo came along and he said, you know what? There's too much fighting. Let's just do everything. Everybody does everything.
But why with this? Why with this mitzvah over all others? There's so many other things that you can do five different ways.
I'm not sure what you mean.
It seems like we're picking a mitzvah and we're saying, okay, we don't know exactly what it was.
We know exactly what it was. It was whatever you want.
Okay, it was whatever you want.
Yeah.
But there could be other things which we're not sure exactly how we're supposed to do.
This one they were fighting about, the other ones they weren't fighting about.
Well, maybe they were fighting about. I don't know.
We don't know, you're right, we don't know. This one we know they were fighting about.
Tefillin, I guess, it would be a good example, right? Because they have this machlokes. So there, you don't find anybody saying that, okay, whatever you do is fine.
No, but you do find two people do both.
You do. You have Rashi, you have Rabbi Natan, right? Right? And you could ask the same question. How could we forget such a thing? So the Rambam would... for that, you'd have to rely on the Rambam, because I don't think anybody would say, okay, either way, you're good. But here, the Haigon is saying that here, whatever you do is good. And the rabbis came along and they said, well, it seems like people are fighting about this, so let's just do everything.
I'll give you another example. I think in the Gemara they discuss what's the proper position for a mezuzah. There are some who would say the mezuzah should be straight up, and others say the mezuzah should be flat,
so they slanted
lying down. So they slanted it. Let's just compromise. The Sephardim didn't accept this compromise. The Sephardim have them straight up. I believe. Right?
Actually, I don't know. So that's what he says. And the Ritva points out, he says, according to Rabbi Nohai, the truth is that you could be Yotzi with any one of these. They're all good. Because the Torah just says that it has to be a Trua, and it's all subjective about what the Trua sounds like, so it's actually all good. That's the gist of Rav Haigon. That is a pretty big deal. Machlokes between the Rambam and Rav Haigon. According to the Rambam, in order to be Yotzi, you have to hear all of them. According to Rav Haigon, in order to be Yotze, you could hear any of them. You just need to hear nine. You could even hear different ones. It's really all fine. Okay, so that's the machlokes between Rav Haigon and the Rambam. By the way, the order of how we do it, right? So what do we do? What do we do in shul?
We did Keshvar Shul Tikiya three times.
Right.
Then Tikiya.
Well, there's two sections, right? There's two sections. There's the Tikiyos that we do. There's the Tikiyos we do before Shmoneh Esrei, right?
Yeah.
Right? Where it's in sections, right? Yeah, right? We do. Anybody remember what we do first?
Tikiya Shvarim Truah, Tikiya Shvarim Truah, Tikiya Shvarim Truah.
And then?
Tikiya Truah.
Right.
Tikiya Truah,
right.
And then we do the.
Right? We do Tashrat. Tashrat, yeah, later. That's what we do before Shmoneh Esrei, and then in Shmoneh Esrei, though, or in depending on where you're coming from, in Shmoneh Esrei or in Chazar Tashatz, what do we do then? For each one, Malchus Zichronos and Shofar, we do Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. For each one.
One series of each.
We do one series of each for Malchus Zichronos and Shofar, right? Does the order matter of how you do it?
No, and then at the end we do everything.
And at the end we have another 40, yeah.
Because beginning is 30, during is 30,
right.
And then there's 40. And
then we have another 40, so we'll get to that soon. Does the order matter? I just said how we do it, but does the order really matter? According to Haigon, does the order matter? No, not at all. According to the Rambam, could the order matter?
Well, after you make a bracha, you should do the right one.
So which one is, what's the proper order to do it in? So the Ramban, in his Drasha al-Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban has a Drasha al-Rosh Hashanah, it's in the Kisvei Ramban, it's like 20 pages. It was a Drasha that he gave in Rosh Hashanah. So I think it is. I think it is. He gave it in Akko. I think when he gave to Eretz Yisrael, it's clear that he wrote it when he got to Eretz Yisrael. I think so. I don't know. He was only there for 3 years, so 3-4 years. I don't know. Vikdim Rishonim Tashrat, V'achar Kach Tashat, V'achar Kach Tarat. Like we do. We do Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. Why? V'lo nagu b'rishon, rishon, v'kol zeh b'kavana u'biyun. He says, this is actually on purpose. Devadei le'ikar adin halacha kamas nisen. The truth is that the halacha, the proper thing is the Mishnah. What does he mean by that? Well, whatever it's a... Yeah, just the Truah. V'stamas nisen, v'stam b'raisa halacha k'stamas nisen. V'kol shigan d'leisa d'rabi abo du amora. He says, for sure, abo is like the lowest level. And so he says, that's why the Tarat is the most for sure. V'im asinu tchila tarat k'mas nisen lo hayan el poslo. Then it wouldn't be appropriate afterwards if we did the most legitimate one, which is the tarat, the trua. Why is it the most legitimate? Only because the Mishnah calls it a trua, and that's basically it. He thinks that the Mishnah means it that.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. So, I know. That's what he indicates. That's what he indicates. And so he says to do the right thing first, and then afterwards to do the wrong things, zelo na'im. So it actually makes more sense to the other way, he says. V'icha chasu de Rabbi Abba tchila. They do the one that's for sure wrong first. V'lo ratzu lismach alav. V'chazu v'asu g'braisa v'lo samchu gam aleh. Ad sh'asu k'mishna sin. Until you do the Mishnah, what the Mishnah says, which is truva, he claims.
If you know what's wrong,
then why do it at all? Well, the Gemara said that's what we do. He's saying the Iker at the end is really what the Mishnah says. It's a strange
Rabbi. I might argue from the other side. If I'm making the bracha to begin with, the Shema Kol Shofar, I might say right after the bracha, the first thing I should hear is the correct one. Because if I'm hearing the wrong one, I've got a hefsek between the bracha.
Right. So I think the answer to both of the questions is that you'll notice that he says Samchu Aleha. He doesn't think that it's wrong. I overdid it. Right. He doesn't think that Tarat is right and the other two are wrong. He just thinks it's more likely to be right. If it's more likely to be right, then you still want to be Yotze Kol Adeos, and therefore it's not a hefsek to do this one and then the other one. Afterwards, it does remind me. There's a famous story about Rav Chaim of Brisk that he asked his talmidim. Let's say you had two etrogim. One was very kosher, but not very nice. It's definitely kosher, but not very nice. The other one is a beautiful esrog, but it might be pasul. You make a bracha. Which one do you pick up first?
The one that doesn't look so nice.
The one that's for sure kosher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be careful because it says pre-hadar, creates hadar. It's Indian to be kosher.
But if it's not kosher, it's not an esrog.
So Chaim says, no, you pick up the nice one first. Why? Basically what the Ramban is saying over here. Because if you pick up the kosher one first, you're for sure Yotze. You did. You finished. So you can't... Picking up the nice one doesn't do anything for you. Because you're for sure Yotze already. So picking up the nice one... If you pick up the really nice one, then good. So if you're Yotze, so you're Yotze with the really nice one. And if you're not, then you immediately pick up the other one, and then you're for sure Yotze. Okay.
You would have been pretty quick the first one.
Now, Rav Asher Weiss disagrees. Rav Asher Weiss says, what is this... Just because you were Yotze once doesn't mean that you can't make it nicer. Picking up another one makes it nicer. That's what he thinks. He disagrees with Rav Chaim. He says you can still make it nicer by picking up the nice esrog afterwards.
That's a good suggestion. Why don't you pick them both up? An esrog, you can do that. You can pick them both up.
You have to pick it up with the lulav. You can. I don't think you can do that.
Why?
Sounds right, but also
you can't blow both.
But also, the esrog is supposed to be a certain way that you're supposed to be able to fit your hand around it. It's not.
Shofar, you can't blow. Just to compare to shofar, shofar, you can't blow.
Right, you can't blow it twice.
Two shofarot.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I can't have two esrogim, just like I can't have two lulavim or six.
Yeah, you're not going to see that.
Or six.
Although you will see. I remember it was Josh once, and we were in Yerushalayim, and Shai took us to, I don't remember which Rebbe it was. They had something like 30 esrogim for him, and he literally stood there. With his lulav, he would take an esrog, go crazy with it during halal, and then put it down, take another esrog, and he had like a box of esrogim, and he did it with every single one.
This is before they started halal?
I guess so, yeah. I don't think he did it for all the Hoshanas and everything. It took like 20 minutes. I don't think he had different lulavs. I think he only had different esrogim.
Is that so that each chassid can get an esrog that the Rebbe... used?
I don't know. I didn't get the impression. I got the impression that it was for him.
Now
this gets us to understand, you know, the Tashrat Tarat Tashat business. But we still have a lot to go to get to 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get there? So the Shulchan Aruch says Machzir Shlech Tzibur Tefila. This is getting to the Musaf. Machzir shliach tzibur hatfila, v'token al seder habrachos malchios tashrat pamachat lizichronos tashat ulishofros tarat. Anybody notice anything? By the way,
it's not what we do.
That's not what we do.
No.
Shulchan Aruch says we do Tashrat for Zichronos, only Tashrat. You do Tashrat. And then you do Tarat for Shofaros, and then you do I did out of order. I did it right. Tashrat, Tarat, either way. But then the Shulchan says, but that's not what we do nowadays. V'akshav no'agim l'tkal malchios tashrat shalosh pamim, l'zichronos tashrat shalosh pamim, l'shofros tarat shalosh pamim. The difference between the first and the second is how many times you do it. In the first one, he only did it one set of tashrat, of
one set of
whatever
each,
it is, one set of each. Now he says you do three sets, but still not what
we do.
Still not what we do. So the Ramah says, v'yesharim shetokin tashrat l'malchios pamachas, v'chein l'zichronos v'chein l'shofros. V'chein amenag medinus elum. Says, we do Tashrat for Zichronos and Shofros, for each one. Right, that's what we said before. So this is the Ramah.
Is that what we do anyway?
That's not how it's usually.
That's still not what we do. I don't think. Did I read this correctly?
Yeah, we do Tashrat.
This is Tashrat, the Pamachat, the Kain Lezikron. We do Tashrat only Pamachat for each one of those brachos?
Right, that's not yet what we do.
Tashrat for each one and Tarat for each one.
Right, we do each one, everything.
Yes.
So that we'll see when we get the Aruch HaShulchan. So if you look at the next thing, the Aruch HaShulchan says, because of our Riff HaRambam, Per Gimel, the Kach who said, so here we're going to get the entire range of the Rishonim and the history of it and how it got to where we are now. All from the Aruch HaShulchan. Because of Riff HaRambam, the Kach who said, the Ratkiyah Shal HaBrachos and the Malchios Token Tashrat, will the Chronos Tashat, will the Shofros Tarat. Like the Shulchan Aruch said, that's what the Rambam said. The Kach, because of Atosos HaRosh, Sham. I was going to show you. I'll show you only for something else. This long Tosas we have in our Gemara, right? So he basically gives us a lot of this background, this long Tosas, but we'll do it in the Aruch HaShulchan. It's easier. V'tamu bazeh. But everybody's surprised about this. De'ech yishanu et ha'chua mimalchios l'chazichronos u'mizichronos l'shofros. How can we... Why do we do something different for Malchios than we do for Zichronos than we do for Shofros? Why do we do that? The Arif Kasa Bazalashan Ubadinu Shiyu Token Al Seder Brachos Kumosha Tiku Bi Yeshiva El Kevin Shekvar Yatsu Yidei Chovas Atkios Enu Achichan Al Tzibur Yosmitai. So there says, we don't worry about that because anyways, we do it all before the Shmona Esrei. Right? By the way, this is how we said before, how we get partly to the 100 is that there's actually two sets of blowing the shofar. There's one before Shmona Esrei and then there's one after during or after Shmona Esrei. So during the time of the Riff and the Rambam and Tosas and the Rush, this is how they did it. Like the Shulchan Aruch says, that's how they did it. Miu, Rabbein of Tam, Tikain, he changed it. Tikain sheyitku b'kol echad tashrat, dola v'ashinu kol kach mikvi ma shehaya mikodem, ve'in b'zeh tichad tzibura. He said, you do tashrat for each one. Rabbeinu Beis Yosef, Kosov Shetzlam, Tikul Malchios Gimel Panim Tashrat, Lizichronos Gimel Panim Tashat, Lishovos Gimel Panim Tarat. So they would do three times for each one. Vezeo Minag Meshuna Vezar Vein Botam. He says the Aruch HaShulchan says this is very strange. Ubisifra Gadol Lo Niskar Zaklal Veneir Sheyesh Bekan Eze Taut Meadfus. So he says it's the whole thing is a Taus Sofer. It's a mistake. VeKavana Tashrat Tashat Tarat the Malchios V'Chein Lizichronos V'Zehin Lishovos. That's what we do. We do each one for each one. For Zichronos, Machi Zichronos, and Shofros, we do Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat. For Rabbeinu Rama, Kasuv Ketakanas Rabbeinu Tam. He says, like Rabbeinu Tam, this we saw before, they did Tashrat. Omnam. Akshav inigu b'rabim makomos litzkoa Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, b'machalichinos, v'chein b'zichronos, v'chein b'shofros, v'zehu ha'ekar ledina. That's what we do. So that gets us to 30, or 27, whatever, for during the... during the Shmona Esrei, thank you for the.
We don't do it in that order.
We do it in that order for each one. Oh, you mean when he says Tashrat? Yeah, we do. Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat for each one. Machlinos, Zichronos, and Shofros.
No, we don't. We do Tarat, Tashat, Tarat, Tashrat. Can we finish with Shrei Tarat?
Do we have a Machzor?
Should we finish with Shrei Tarat?
Yeah, we do finish with Shrei Tarat. Because we actually do 9, 9, 12.
No, I think we do 10, 10, 10.
You would attend to 10, but Shrein Tarat is the last of the three.
I think it's switched. I think it actually gets switched between the one before Shemoneh Esrei. I think I remember looking it up and I noticed it gets switched from before
the first of the three.
The Rosh Hashanah Matsurim upstairs in
the upstairs. I would be lucky with something being disorganized. Too organized, well.
That meal.
But isn't there machloket as well about when you do it, doing the Shemoneh Esrei, the quiet one, and the.
About whether you do it during Chazar Shatz or doing it during the silence?
When we first made Aliyah at our shul, or started the shul, we used to do it both during the silent and during Chazar. And then there was only 10 at the very end.
That's what we do.
That's right.
That's what we do in our shul?
We do it during the silent and during Chazar Shatz. Both, yes.
And so there's no, like we do after Kaddish. We do after Kaddish, we do 40.
During the silent.
Right.
Right.
So that's what we did in our show, right?
Yeah, at some point about Bato Kea gives the clap, and everybody says, now it's time to blow.
Right.
Because Bato Kea got up to the end of the bracha.
There's a famous test that they did in the Rav Shul, and there was like a story about that. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was just that he would take forever, I think. That was that.
I remember the first time I got into
Ashkenazi. Maybe that's where there's a difference.
So when did they do it after Chazarathet? If they don't do it in Chazar Shatz, when do they do it?
After Kaddish.
You do it during Kaddish.
During yes. But we also do it during Kaddish.
You do 10. 10.
10.
Oh, they do more.
It's very good that they came up with something that everybody can do the same.
But governing used to last till 3 o'clock in the afternoon because everyone's waiting for the Rebbe and the Bar Tokea to finish to get up and it's last forever.
You know what? It's
either way. So I think you might be right but I think in the Tkios to Miyushav, the ones before, I think that is the order. What he's describing. Now he does go back and try to explain what's going on with the Rambam and the Rif. Like what were they doing? Where they would switch off for each one. So if you look, he basically says, well. If Rav Haigon is right, then basically it doesn't matter what they did. Mm-hmm. That's what he says on the next slide. Take the katmanin tashrat machios tashat the zechronos tarat the shofros the horse lanu the kulam hamaker then in bez asafik klal veich shiyasir yotim midechobasam. It doesn't really matter what you do; it's all good anyways. Now, this is all very nice to explain maybe the Rosh, to explain Tosos, even maybe to explain the Rif, but to explain the Rambam, it's not going to cut it. Right, because the Rambam is the one who argues with Rav Haigon and says no, there is a right, there's a wrong. We do it out of suffix, and so it would make sense to try to cover our bases if we can.
But even with the Rambam, it's not clear that you have to have one particular type of shura with any particular type of market you want to push off. You're covering between the three, you cover all your bases. So surely that should.
You do, but you would think that you would want to cover each time. Right?
I don't know.
That's what
he
suggests.
It's not clear there's a connection between
No, it's not clear. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah on the second side of the page, and then we'll look back in Tosos in a minute. Mishnah Berurah says, V'chein ha-meneg b'medinos elu, I'm on the second side of the page, u'bishla kasev ha-derech ha-mufchar litkoa tashrat tashat tarat l'malchios v'chein l'zichronos v'chein l'shofar. This is what we do. Mishnah Berurah is saying the same thing as the Aruch Hashulchan, and that's what the Shulah says. V'achar anim zmiros od tashrat tashat tarat kedei lahashlim ad mea kolos. Okay, now this is the first time that we're seeing the 100 kolos. U'mikol mokom mokom shenogim k'minigenu en l'shanos. Now, what is this 100 blows about? So if you look back at the Gemara...
By the way, don't we do it before Aninu? We don't have Aninu.
Yeah, I was going to say they were doing Amos Mirrors.
If you look, this is just to see it kind of in the original source. If you look on Lama Gilma Beis, in that long Tosos, the big one, the one that takes up the whole page, so about six lines up from where it becomes wide lines, where he says at the end of the line, V'achshav nohagin. the end of that line, the short line. V'achshav no'agin litkoa b'yeshiva l'achar kriyas haTorah shloshim kolos. He was giving us the order. What we do nowadays is that before Shmona Esrei, we do 30 kolos. Gimel kashrak, instead of tashrat, they would have kashrak. Kashrak, v'gimel kashak, v'gimel karak. Right? Tashrat, tashak, tat, tarat. U'betfilah, tokin amalchios kashrak, v'azichonis kashak, v'ashofers karak, like we saw him say before. U'lefum sugi dekula pirkin haya ra'oi litkoa, b'shas tfila amalchios kashrak, kashak, karak, v'chein ezichonis, v'chein ashofros, o'la'achar tfila kulu. Avakodim tfila, lo'ashkechan. Why do we blow beforehand? K'detan mishabirech, mishabirech. Why do we blow, by the way? Why do we blow before Shmona Esrei? Where does that come from? So there's from the time of the Gemara, the answer is Kedela Arbev et Satan. And that's to confuse the Satan. What exactly that means is its own question. But that's the reason given. So he says, what was I looking for? No, I was here we go. If you look at the Aruch. So the Aruch explains what we do, and he adds on.
Where is that?
Where are you looking? It says Uba Aruch. How do I describe it? About four lines down from the wide lines, fourth wide line in the right in the middle. It says Uba Aruch. Aruch was early Rishon. Pirish Ayu Osin Ken She Pirish Be'erach Erev. He wrote his book. It's called the Aruch because it's an Arachim, which is basically like a dictionary or an encyclopedia. He says, "Demachmere va'avdi shloshim kidiyasvin." We do 30 sitting, u'shloshim belachash, and 30 as part of Shmona Esrei, u'shloshim ala seder, and then we do another 30. I know that's not 100, but it's supposed to end up being 100. Kineged mea piyot de paaya ime de sisra va'alein asar inun kishagomen kol tefila kol tekiya di yichidai mitbay lahamihabi tashrat tashrat tara. He says we end up with 100. Why 100? Because Sisera's mother did 100.
Wow.
How do we know Sisera's mother did 100? It doesn't say that anywhere except in the Midrash. Did I not put the Midrash? Okay, so here, if you look on the last source I brought in English, Meshech Chachma quotes the Midrash. The 100 blasts of the shofar Rosh Hashanah are hinted at through the words brought in Midrash Tanchuma and Parshas Tazria. It says there, a woman cries 100 cries when she gives birth. 99 for death and 1 for life. The day the world was born, the world and all that fills it are similarly born, whether for compassion or judgment, so we sound 100 blasts. So they say, there's nothing to do with Sisera's mother. One of the sources I found online connected the two. It says that it must be they're connected to each other. And I saw it said that she did 100. It was 99 when she thought that he was coming, when she thought that he
wasn't coming,
and then one when she found out that she had for sure died.
Wasn't it?
Why?
And there's something in the Mukta, there's something about it. She was 101, and therefore we do 100. We don't.
No, that was another thing. There was another thing that said she only cried 99 times, and so we do 100 to outdo her. There was one like that.
We seem very obsessed with this woman.
Well, I think the idea is to point out what we said at the beginning, which is it's striking. Why would we want to learn it from her?
Yeah.
Unless there's something deeper going on there. So,
yeah.
For instance,
it's very striking. You're obsessed with Sisera's mother, seeing Sisera wasn't even Jewish. And usually Jews are concerned with their mothers at all.
So, one thing that I saw was that. So Rabbi Soloveitchik says that our crying should be similar to her crying. Her crying was a moment where her illusions were shattered. Where basically, her crying happened because she was expecting her son to come home. He always comes home. And then all of a sudden, he's not there. That's the way that we should start feeling on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur and the Yom Narayim. The idea that, you know, who we thought we were, that's the job of the shofar, who we thought we were, and we're not that person. It's shattering illusions. That's the job of the shofar. Ur Yisheni Mishenatchem, wake up. That's how we should be feeling. Rav Asher Weiss has a nice take on this. He switches things around. He says, actually, it's not us who are crying when we blow the shofar. It's Hashem who's crying, because He's waiting for us to come home. Like Sisera's mother is waiting for him to come home. the way he writes. That Hashem is waiting for us to come home, like Sisera's mother is waiting for Sisera to come home. And that's the idea.
She got upset when she realized he wasn't coming home.
I know. So he's getting upset. He's getting upset. He's getting upset, and we're supposed to feel Hashem's pain that we haven't come. Yeah. That was another idea over there.
So he's not expecting us to come home.
No, we're supposed to feel his pain, and to come home. That's the idea. I did want to do one last thing. We'll start with this: the Zohar. We talked about which one is right, right? We're worried about which one is right. Is it Genuchi Ganach? Is it Yulu Yalil? Is it the groaning? Is it the staccato sounds? The Zohar does something very interesting. And I suspect it does this often, and it does it at least twice here. Once for the shofar, one for Rosh Hashanah itself. Take a look at this fascinating thing from the Zohar. It's on the second side of the page. Second to last source. Tnan. U'mishpat amo Yisrael dvar yom b'yomo. Right? Talking about judgment, which is done day by day. Yom b'yomo, mayhi. The Zohar wants to know, what does it mean when it says yom b'yomo? Elahani tre yom in the Rosh Hashanah. It's the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Amai Trey Yomin. Well, if I were to say off the bat, there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, right? Does it make sense that they should be hinted at in a pasuk in Tanakh?
Yeah, there's one day in the Torah.
There's only one day. When did it become 2 days?
Well,
sometime during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Levim were confused about, well, they weren't confused. They had already said the Shir Shal Yom, and then the Edim showed up. And they were saying the wrong one, and everything got confused. So they instituted, you know what, from now on, we're just going to do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, so we make sure that we get everything done correctly. And that's how things went. But initially, it's only supposed to be one day. Right, so initially, it's only supposed to be one day of Rosh Hashanah. So for the Zohar to say that it's hinted at in the Tanakh is a little strange. And then to go further and to say the following, Amai Trei Yomin, why are there 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Let's stop there. I know why there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Because there was a mistake once, and so we instituted 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. But that's not what the Zohar says. Begin the inun trei beidina lemitchaber and kechada. Because there's 2 beis dins that have to be connected. Dina ilah, diu kasha, bedina titaa, diu rafya. Because there's an upper din, which is hard and strict, and there's a lower din, which is more lenient. V'travayu mishtakhe, and we're worried about both of them. Valda lo yadi hani bavlai raza di. Sorry, let's stop there for a second. Because each day is representative of each din. The first day is din akasha, the second day is din rafya. That's why there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Not because of what the Bavli says. And then he says further, the Zohar says further, he says, and I'll tell you another thing the Bavli doesn't know anything about. Valda lo yadi hani bavlai raza di avava v'yelelusa. They don't know the secret of the Yavava and the Yalalusa. It's not either or. It's both. You need both. Yalalusa the iu dina tkifa, plus tvirin the iu dina rafya. The Yalalusa, the staccato one, that's dina tkifa, that's the midas adin, that's the hard din. And the 3 shvarim, that's dina rafya, that's the lenient din. Genuchi ganach rafya inun, lo yadi va'avdin travayu va'anan yadin va'avdin travayu. They didn't know. They don't know why they do 2, why they do both.
But we do.
But we know why we do both.
On what basis does he say that the 3 is the hard din and the staccato is the...
On the basis that he's the Zohar. I don't know.
Again, I could have asked, if he had said it the other way, I would have asked the same question.
Yeah.
What's the source for him?
I have no idea.
Still
Zohar. I have no idea. They do connect it to Rachel and Leah, which is a typical thing. Leah being Midas HaChesed and Rachel being Midas HaDin. But that's later on. But I think it's just fascinating what the Zohar does here. It's just fascinating because it takes something that's a suffix in the Gemara, right? 2 things that are suffixes in the Gemara that we have a very technical, dry explanation for, right? We have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because there was a mistake once and we want to make sure the mistake doesn't happen anymore. So we add a day. We're just Machmir. We have 2 different sounds in the shofar because we're not sure which one is right. So therefore, we just do both. Or they're both right, and so we want to create shalom, and so we do both. And it comes along the Zohar, and he says, no, actually,
we know.
This is all planned.
To be that way.
This is all playing out. I don't know if the Zohar is saying that they always did both of these things, but, which is definitely not true historically about the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, unless you want to dispute the Talmud Bavli on historical grounds, which I don't think the Zohar is prepared to do. I think what he's trying to say is that it was always in the Bria that we were going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. For some reason, we didn't have it until a certain time in history, and then it made sense, which is also amazing. And then, and the same thing with the shofar. It was just, you know, I just think it's an amazing thing that the Zohar does, and I wouldn't be surprised if we found that they did it in more places where the Bavli said, okay, well, let's just be machmir, or let's just do both minhagim, and the Zohar probably comes along and says, let's actually both meant to be that way. So let's just recap what we did in terms of getting to 100. So we started with 0, because the Torah never mentions the shofar at all. Then we got to 1 because of Harat the shofar, and then we got to 3 because it always has to be sandwiched, and then we got to 9 because it says Trua 3 times. Also because of Machios, Echonos, and Shofars. And then that gets us to 27 or 30, depending on how you count. We didn't see it inside, but the Gemara says we have Tekios de Miyumad and Tekios de Miyushav. We add on 30 at the beginning, before the Shemona Esrei, because we want to confuse the Satan, whatever that means. And then the Ikar ones are really the ones during the Shemona Esrei. I say Ikar because they're the ones that are done with the Brachos. To the degree that there are some Rishonim that say you should have in mind not to be Yotze. With the first ones.
Which Shemona
Esrei? That's depending on your minhag.
The
minhagim diverged. Whether you do it during Chazar Shashat or whether you did it during the Lachash, like we said before, or both. Of course, this is the reason for why the rabbi gets up and says, everybody, please do not speak from the time that we make the bracha until the end of at least Chazar Shashats, because the real Ikar Mitzvah is actually during the Chazar Shashats. Even if you don't want to wait till the 100, at least wait until the first 60, because otherwise you weren't Yotzei Lechatchila. And then we add on the 40 or the 10, whatever it is, because we want to be Yotze the Aruch idea. That we want to get to 100 because either that was Eim Sisra or because of this this medrash that the Meshech Chachma quotes about the woman who's giving birth, which is connected to Rosh Hashanah.
When do we get to the Tekiah
Gdolah? Yeah, I had that written down and I forgot to bring it with me. Yeah, it's always the last one, the Tekiah Gdolah. I think there's only supposed to be one, right? This is a conversation.
There's one at the end of the first 30.
But,
there's one
right,
at the end
true.
Of the
but it's not an addition. But it's not an
addition. No, it's not an
addition. The last Tekiah is at the
Tekiah Gdolah. Correct. No, I'm saying, but right. Where do we learn? We spoke about the concept of Tekiah Gdolah. We spoke about length. The length is of this, this.
Right.
Three.
Right. Well, we talked only about Trua, really. We didn't really talk about what Tekiah means.
But at the beginning, we kind of defined.
We gave it a shear, correct.
Yeah.
Which I think, by the way, one might ask, how can you do a true Tekiah Gdolah? Isn't it the wrong shear? So if you remember in the Mishnah, they didn't say that a long Tekiah is no good.
Sure.
They just said it can't count twice. Remember that, the Mishnah?
Mm-hmm.
It says you can't count it twice
you
just because you did it longer. But that, it counts for one, so the Tekiah Gdolah is a good Tekiah. It's fine. It's a kosher Tekiah. I have to get back to you. I can't remember exactly.
I think
exactly
he's about to get a chance to show off a little bit.
By the way, so we'll talk about Rav Asher. He's coming to Ranana on the 28th of September.
Wow. At the Kola?
No, at in the shul.
He used to come to the Kola.
Where
are you? Arlozarov.
Rav Yogel is speaking first.
Who's speaking first?
Sorry?
Who's speaking first?
Rav Shabtai Yogel.
Okay, so they bring it. So it is they probably put it there because the Kola got crowded when he came last time. Other time.